This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
Velvet Fog.
So it's just somebody that doesn't have the brr.
Yeah, the growl behind it. Oh. So, or somebody who's able to just, with a more velvet throat.
Was that what they called him back in those days?
Yes.
Are you that guy that grabs insults from like the 30s and 40s and insults people today?
Yes. You're not Cracker Jack, Chad. That's what it is.
Yep.
Class is in.
This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns, a professor in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University. The kid sitting over to my left is...
Chad P.
And you've got a decent piece of, what is that, Easter candy there?
Yes.
A Milky Way bar in a pink wrapper. That's
Todd's desk, I guess. Yes, I got connections. I get all the good stuff.
Because nothing on there now but that waxy chocolate.
And all those little chocolate eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, I like those.
Well, you give them to children.
We're getting ready for Easter, man. What's your favorite Easter candy?
My favorite Easter? What is it? The Reese's peanut butter.
There you go.
Because see, they're decent. You give so often you get a Reese's peanut butter cup and you break it in half, and that cloud of peanut dust comes out because it's too old.
Mm-hmm.
But the eggs are always fresh.
Yes, they are. The eggs and the Cadbury eggs.
No, I don't like those.
My favorite. Oh, I love the Cadbury eggs.
No, they're like
eggs.
Eating spackle
and
white and yellow spackle in chocolate.
Oh, it's so good.
No.
And you know, it never fails. I make it known across the board that I don't care for the Heavenly Hash eggs.
Yeah.
I guarantee you this year
you'll get Heavenly Hash.
I'll get a Heavenly Hash egg.
I do like the cherry one though.
Oh,
you're talking about?
Bleh.
Oh, I do like those.
Mm-mm.
I was like, with the Heavenly Hash, I'm kind of with you on that.
No.
A neat topic here. Those of you who are not from the greater Louisiana Hammond area, you might not know this, but once a year on this campus, Southeastern Louisiana University, I do a lecture in a little thing we call fanfare. It's a campus-wide lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And the television station comes out and they, you know, take a... video of it and turn it into a television show. Not that I'm a star. But they turn it into this TV show, and I write up papers on it, and they send it out to news links and such like that. And darned if this last one didn't actually do pretty well. We got it up on the television show, and it's gone out, and
got on
Discovery.com. It's gotten into all kinds of different newspapers.
Yeah.
Like the topic
five
was...
people clapped.
Right. What was the first rock and roll record?
I know it.
Yeah, I know you do, because you came to the lecture.
That's right.
And you said to me, we've got to turn this into a rock school show.
Absolutely.
And so we will. For the next hour, I'm going to tell you... where did the term rock and roll come from? What makes the first rock and roll record the first rock and roll record? Might even tell you who aligned the term rock and roll with the music, and hopefully play a whole bunch of music for you that may very well be the first rock and roll record.
You know what I'm noticing, Doc?
What's that?
Every week, we get more and more Facebook friends that decide to jump on and throw their two cents in, and it becomes some like a giant online discussion debate.
Yes.
This one right here...
let's see if we can't do it.
...is going to be the coup de grace.
Let's kick off with this one. Is this the first rock and roll record?
No.
Back from 1949?
I don't even know what you're going to play.
I don't think it is. I'm going to end with the one I think it is, but maybe you do. This is from Stick McGee. Guy and his buddies drinking wine, Spodio D. Sounds like this, Rock School.
Down in New Orleans where everything's fine, all them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, Spodio D, drink wine, mop, mop, wine.
Hi, there's Stick McGee and
his
buddies.
No,
it isn't.
Not it.
Now, nobody knows what the first rock and roll record
is. You do.
Well, I think I know. I think I know because what I did is what anybody who says they know what the first rock and roll record is did. You outlay your own parameters.
Your criteria.
Right. I think it's this, 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 and this. And within my own parameters, this.
So as we go on through the show, you'll learn what my parameters are, mm-hmm. and, you know, what my boundaries are. And within that, this. See, I think it's long before. Some people say it's Rock Around the Clock because that's when it went national.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's popularity that makes something rock and roll. I think it's the musical structure. So let's begin with the concept of rock and roll.
Okay.
The term. Where did it come from?
Where?
Well, it started in the 1800s with a nautical term, the concept of a boat rocking and rolling, mm-hmm. you know, going nose to tail and
sure.
side to side,
right,
port
right.
to starboard.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was first heard in terms of music was in Jubilee singing.
Mm-hmm.
They would talk about rocking and rolling in the arms of Moses, in the arms of Abraham, in the arms of Jesus. In fact, it was back in 1916 in a record by Little Wonder number 339 called Camp Meeting Jubilee that they actually sang Rockin' and Rollin' in Your Arms, Rockin' and Rollin' in Your Arms, in the arms of Moses.
Wow, that's so you're earliest. Saying rock and roll references back in early Biblical records.
That's right. Almost back when the Bible was written, back in 1916. I may have that date a little off. Yeah. It was back in 1922 then, the earliest that I could find, that the term makes the jump from Jubilee, mm-hmm. gospel and Jubilee music,
yep.
over into what they called secular music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with a woman named Trixie Smith, a song in 1922, My Man Rocks Me With One Steady Roll. Now, it's not quite saying rock and roll, but can you hear how it's sexual?
Yeah.
Right. Now,
it's kind of obvious.
What made it even more so, or more so dirty, was the fact that they used a term from the church, which made it even more dirty.
Mm.
So it makes the jump from the church over into secular music.
It's a huge jump.
Right. Somewhere in the early 1920s, Blind Roosevelt Garnes talks about rock and rolling inside of a song called Crazy About My Baby. In 1934, the Boswell sisters talk about rock and roll. In 1935, Benny Goodman talks about getting rhythm in your feet and music in your soul and things like that.
Yeah.
And it starts to get used again and again and again. Again, the question is, when did people start to talk about rock and roll and singing like rock and roll? That would probably be Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And I'll tell you about her and her influence on the people who sang early rock and roll. People like Elvis Presley, people like Little Richard, after we hear another one that could very well be the first rock and roll song.
But it's not.
Well, not according to me. I'll finish the show with the one I think that it is. Here's Helen Humes and the Bill Doggett Octet back from 1945. This is called Bebop Aliba. Bebop Aliba probably came from Arriba, which was set inside of the Latin clubs at the time,
yes.
which meant go faster, do more, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Which became Bebop Arriba, which became probably Bebop Alula, which probably became one of a thousand little goofy things that are said in rock and roll. You got it. And all of those things. Listen to it. Sounds like rock and roll. Got the walking bass line and a real smooth sax solo. Here's Helen right here, Rock School. Helen Humes, Bill Doggett Octet, back from 1945.
Mm.
Probably more jazz than it is rock and roll, it's got elements in it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. All rock and roll has got heavy, heavy jazz influences in it.
Yeah, but you're looking for something that is no longer what came before it.
So you're looking for something.
Well, yeah, when you're looking for the first rock and roll song, there's no such thing as a correct answer. But you are looking for a piece of music that combines everything.
Yeah, you got to be able to back up what you say is the first rock and roll record. You can't just say, oh, it's that one. Why? Because
I say so. Who are you? I'm the guy on the radio. And it's got to be a little more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, dig this. If you get a shot at it, take a listen for a song by Sister Rosetta Tharpe. It was recorded back in 1938. Now, what Sister Rosetta Tharpe did was what got other people in a whole lot of trouble back in the 1950s. She did it back in the 1930s. She took a gospel song.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy by the name of Thomas A. Dorsey, not Tommy Dorsey, not the guy that was the big band leader,
right.
but Thomas A. Dorsey, who wrote gospel music. And he wrote a song called Hide Me in Thy Bosom.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a nice copy of it. The one that you probably would know is by the Dixie Hummingbirds. Those are the guys that backed up Paul Simon in Love Me Like a Rock. That's okay. Where you'd probably know them from.
Right.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe re-recorded it and retitled it Rock Me. And she couldn't just say rock me, she went rock me. I mean, as growly as she could.
Get that growl in there.
Oh, sure. And people none other than Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Little Richard have cited her as basically teaching them
mm-hmm.
how to sing the sexual part of rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
So basically, she's the one that taught them
yeah.
this is how to growl your voice. This is how to do it. And it's her recordings that basically pushed it across. So when you're looking for early rock and roll, it's not just the fact that the music is a certain way. There's mm-hmm. a performance aspect to it.
Uh-huh.
There's a growl. There's a push. There's an oomph in your voice.
So you're saying I could have sat there and sang rock me in your
and
bosom.
It probably wouldn't have had it. You're too much a crooner.
Uh-huh.
And a crooner.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you're too much a crooner. You're not enough of a rocker. Here's one that was a true boogie-woogie song that has a crossover potential. Why? Because when you're looking for early rock and roll, a lot of people look for African-American artists.
Okay.
Maybe it is, maybe it's not. This is by a white artist, made it into the top 10 in the R&B charts and also to number 8 in the white charts, or the pop charts as they called them back then.
Right.
Here's Freddie Slack and his orchestra with Ella Mae Morris, a female singer. Could be a female singer that sang the first rock and roll song. Well, Sister Rosetta Tharpe was in there. This is A House of Blue Lights back from 1946. Dig it, is it? Rock School.
Well, what you say, baby? You look ready as Mr. Freddy this black. How about you and me going spinning at the track?
This is Rock School as we talk about the first rock and roll record.
What did you call me a while ago?
A crooner.
What is a crooner? I've never been called that before.
Well, it's kind of a velvet-voiced guy. You would see a crooner out in front of a big band. Tony Bennett would be a crooner.
Okay.
Mel Torme would be a crooner. Mel Torme's nickname was the Velvet Fog.
So it's just somebody that doesn't have the brr?
Yeah, the growl behind it. Oh. Or somebody who's able to just, with a more velvet throat.
Was that what they called him back in those days?
Yes.
Are you that guy that grabs insults from like the 30s and 40s and insults people today?
Yes. You're not Cracker Jack, Chad. That's what it is.
Yep.
I had a friend who was with me while I was putting this together.
Yeah.
And I asked him what he thought rock and roll was, because we've talked about the term. You can see where it came from, made
yes.
a jump from Jubilee music.
Yes.
And I'm now going to start talking about actual rock and roll, what the music is. And he said to me, well, it's real simple. Rock and roll is simply the white man singing the African-American man's music. And I just think that's way simplistic.
What?
I just think that's way simplistic. Then he quoted Muddy Waters.
Mm-hmm.
The blues had a baby and they called it rock and roll. Again, too simplistic.
Ah, he backed it up, though.
I guess by quoting Muddy Waters. But I think that's too simplistic.
Why do you have to make it complicated?
Because it is.
Because.
That's like saying, why are there 12 hours, you know, or 24 hours in a day? Well, because there are.
Okay.
You know, why are there this many chemicals in this thing? Well, because there are.
Okay.
Rock and roll is not a simplistic thing. It is difficult. It is the melding of different kinds of music. So what I did is I grabbed a Muddy Waters song that a lot of people think is the first rock and roll song. And you can hear that it has elements of rock and roll, but it's still too far to blues.
Mm.
It's still in a genre of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have all the elements of rock and roll.
Maybe it's considered the breakout.
It might be the blues breakout. I guess it is. It's pushing that way,
uh-huh.
but I don't think it's quite rock and roll. It's not quite there yet. And when we get back, we'll start talking about what I consider rock and roll music to be. Here is Muddy Waters, Rollin' and Tumblin', 1950, Rock School.
Cried the whole night long. Would not let me rest.
There you go. Muddy Waters, Rolling and Tumbling.
Mm-hmm.
It's still right there.
I think it's borderline, dude.
It is.
It's knocking on the door.
I can play other songs for you that once you listen to them, you're going to go, yeah, you're right. Muddy Waters still is blues. There's more formed music. Okay, welcome to our first break. Let me tell you in a bit. Right here, the first part of what I think rock and roll is. We'll do the break. We'll come back. I'll tell you the next part. And I'll play for you Chad's choice. Now, he came and listened to the lecture, so he has a little bit more background into it. But we'll play his first.
Okay.
I believe rock and roll is the coming together of six forms of music.
Right.
Plus
I remember.
A technological format.
Okay.
But it's the music I want to format right now. I think there are three dominant forms of music. Remember, we're back in the 1940s.
Right.
Okay, so the terms that were used back in the 1940s are a little unfortunate, but this is what it was called. White pop, or what they called Tin Pan Alley music.
Yes.
What that gave over was hit songwriting and writing for dance.
Mm-hmm.
What they called at the time black pop, which was basically blues, which gave you the 1-4-5 chord progression, which is what most people know as blues music.
Yes.
Okay. And what they called at the time country pop, which was not really the country you know of today, and not really what they called at the moment mountain music or bluegrass.
Right.
It was sort of a honky-tonk type stuff, stringed music. And what that gave was stringed instruments becoming dominant and major melody lines.
Sure.
So when you're listening for a rock song, you are not listening for just simply a harder-played blues song.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening for 1-4-5 chord progression music, blues music.
Yeah.
And you're listening for country melody lines, major melody lines. You need to have the two of them melding together. Now, wait a minute. You said that it's not simply the coming together of country and pop, or country and blues. You're right, it's not, because there are subdominant musics that come into it. All I've talked about is the three dominants.
We need three more.
White pop, black pop, and country pop.
How come everything ends with a pop?
Well, because at the time, that's what it was. There were charts at the time that were tracking these, and that's what they were called.
Gotcha.
We're going to do a break. We're coming back. I'll tell you the three subdominant musics, and then we'll play your pick. Hello, Radio Universidad Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. Population, lots of crooners.
Get us on Facebook. Search Rock School Radio Show. You crooners, and friend us. Like us. You really like us. Back in a minute, Rock School. Here come my three sub-dominant musics.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just white pop, black pop, and country pop.
Nope.
You also have, inside of rock and roll, and yes, these are in there, jazz for brass power.
That's correct.
Now, there's not a lot of horns in rock and roll today. They're sort of a sub thing if they're in there. But in rock and roll of the 1940s and 50s, the saxophone was a major element.
Yes, it was.
Folk is in rock and roll. And basically, well, yes, about writing about social change. In fact, many people think that rock and roll is just high-octane folk. And gospel for rock becoming a vocal-based music. So three sub-dominants, jazz, folk, gospel, and those six all together. So when you're looking for the first rock song, you got to find something that encompasses those.
Yep.
Now, your choice
for
first rock and roll song is a lot of people's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Brenston and his Delta Cats, Rocket 88.
It is.
Now tell me why.
Because it's got first distorted guitar,
which I believe
you need in there.
Okay.
It's got your 1-4-5 chord progression.
It's got the blues music.
Would you explain that right quick to the
1-4-5 chord progression is a blues type of music. I don't want to sing very much, but think of it as bum 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 up to the fourth.
Bum 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 bum
back down to tonic. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Up to the dominant.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
So,
you got it.
So you got your distorted guitar, you got your 1-4-5 chord progression, and you got brass.
You got brass. And it's, if I'm not mistaken, a major melody line over top of it. You women have heard of jalopies. You've heard the noise they make.
There you go.
It goes to the dominant third.
There you go. Right there. That's right. My pick. Rocket 88.
I would agree with you completely, except I can defeat it by a couple of years with a song that does all of that, plus has the technology behind it that this one does not.
Well, we'll get into that later, but for the most part, let me be right.
Rocket 88.
This is it.
At least for the next half hour, Chad thinks he's right. And he may be. Because there's no such thing as right and wrong. Here you go, Rock School.
You women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style.
This is Rock School. As we talk about the first rock and roll song, there's Chad's pick. And after my lecture, a lot of people came to me and said,
I know.
You're wrong.
I know, and that's why I love it. Because I'm going to have a lot of people agree with me. Because it's got a lot of the elements right there that you talk about.
And you know what? Coming out of this break, after we do 7 days and 70 seconds, I'm going to play Fats Domino, the Fat Man. And there are a lot of people that believe Fats Domino's The Fat Man is the first rock and roll record. Came out in New Orleans. Gotta be. There are two reasons why it can't be. And I'll tell you those after we play it. But first, 7 days, 70 seconds. I'm Joe Burns.
Chad B.
Hey, he's got Monday, April 11th through April 17th. Go.
April 11th, back in 1961, it rained and rained Grammys for Ray Charles. He won four in one evening, including one for Best Male Vocal Performance for Georgia On My Mind.
Ray Charles is one of those guys that would take an old gospel song, spin it around, and put secular words to it, and caught a lot of heck for doing it as well, just like Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
I bet.
Tuesday, April 12th, 1967, Greyhound Bus begins service of guided tours to Hippie Land, showing off the new acid rock scene near Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco.
Awesome. April 13th, back in 96, RATM, better known as Rage Against the Machine, appeared on Saturday Night Live.
Thursday, April 14th, 1996, Milli Vanilli's Rob Pilatus is sentenced to 3 months in jail in Los Angeles for assault, vandalism, and attempted robbery, but it wasn't him. Yes, it was. I'm just kidding.
Somebody pretending to do it. April 15th, tax day. Back in 2001, punk pioneer and singer of the Ramones, Joey Ramone, by his real name, Jeffrey Ross Hyman, died of lymphatic cancer in New York City at age 49.
That's too bad. That's a short life. Saturday, April 16th, 2006, a sale of designer clothing belonging to Elton John raises more than $700,000 for the Elton John AIDS Foundation. And on Sunday, April 17th, 2001, just 10 years ago, Appalachian group Hey C. Dixie releases the bluegrass album A Hillbilly Tribute to AC/DC.
Oh,
lead singer Brian Johnson states, "This is great, and it's hilarious." Didn't know he was actually from Scotland, but that's the only accent I can do. Okay, here you go. Fats Domino, recorded at Cosimo Matassa's J&M Recording Studio, the first true New Orleans hit to come out with the New Orleans sound. It made people from everywhere come to the great Big Easy to record. Gotta be it. First backbeat, first boogie-woogie style. Domino re-records it in Nashville later. Just doesn't sound that good. Captures lightning in a bottle. Has to be the first rock and roll record. I don't think so. After I play it, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Here's a Fat Man. Rock School. All right, let me take another shot at this here. When rock and roll was poised to explode, the 45 was poised as well. I think that's what I was trying to say.
It took you 2 minutes to say that a while ago, and that's what you summed it up as?
Is that bad?
Good.
Professional disc jockey work done while you wait. You know, when RCA Victor came out, there's just no vinyl anymore. Do you even get vinyl at this radio station anymore?
No.
You don't get any, not even as like a throwback or anything. Every so often somebody throws you one just for the heck of it.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Are you even getting, I mean, are you finding that even CDs are slowing down now? Are you getting just announcements for downloads and
such?
We're
getting emails.
Really?
I emailed you the MP3.
No kidding.
No kidding.
When the 45 first came out, they weren't black.
No, I remember you talked about this. They were color-coded according to the genre of music that they were.
Red was classical.
Uh-huh.
Blue was light classics, which I believe meant pop.
Uh-huh. See, blue should have been blues.
I agree. I agree. That makes just sense because blues is in the title.
Hello.
The reason I don't think of that... I don't think it was that way was because we call it R&B now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was called R&B back then. I think it was called black pop.
Oh, okay.
So I know it sounds just, well, you dummy, why didn't you make blue blues? Well, I don't think it was called that back then. So blue was light classics. Mm-hmm. Green was country.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow was children. And orange was R&B.
Yeah.
Or black pop. So,
see, I happen to not like country, and my favorite color is green, so I take exception to that.
There you are. Yeah. It wasn't until 1952 that RCA just said, the heck with it, this cutesy little thing with the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it was costing a little bit too much money.
Sure.
And when they decided to go with all black, apparently it was a bit of a money saver for them, and that was that.
That's why they're doing stuff like that nowadays, though. You talked about why do you not get CDs.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost them anything to shoot an email with an MP3 attached to it.
And they can
send
it
straight away. You got to pay shipping on a press kit and everything with CDs and stuff in it.
Isn't it easier, though, for you? I mean that wholeheartedly. When you're a band, isn't it easier right now for you, the radio station, to receive a CD? Or is it easier to receive the MP3? Or doesn't it matter?
It really doesn't matter. It's actually easier to receive the MP3.
Is it really?
Because all I have to do is convert it to the file type that I want and upload it into my system. Now, granted, you know, it's going to sound really lazy, but then that means I got to open up the CD and put it into the machine and upload it from there.
No, that doesn't sound lazy.
It's saving me a step.
How many rotating songs do you have?
Lots.
I was going to say.
A lot.
Saying doing it one time, that does sound lazy.
Yeah.
Doing it 700 times?
Sure.
Saves you a ton of time.
Yeah.
Hello, WBSD Burlington, Wisconsin. I'm getting old.
Hello, KLSU Tiger Radio. Doc, I went to go get some supplies for my garden the other day, Saturday morning, and I heard us on Tiger Radio.
Happiness.
I put it on and I said, that sounds like me.
Yes, it does. Did I come on?
Yeah, you were there too.
Oh, good. Thank you. Back in a minute. Rock School. All right, as we search on for the first rock and roll record.
Getting close, man. Getting close.
Well, I
got
time.
Better stick in.
They're all
your
short
pick
little
there.
Songs. Here goes. We've talked about where the term came from. We've talked about what the music sounds like. We've talked about the technological aspect. Let's talk about how the term rock and roll got associated with the music. Well, it came from a disc jockey. And this guy, Alan Freed,
mm-hmm.
we've talked about him on the show before.
Yes.
He was a nighttime jock in the Nifty 850, WJW Cleveland, Ohio. The story goes that this guy was so popular that basically what he said was able to move the entire industry.
Yeah.
And it just really don't, to me, I just don't think that'll happen again.
Mm.
There can't be one guy that has that much oomph.
I mean, there might be one or two people that's real popular in media today that has an influence over, let's just say, I don't know, Jennifer Lopez.
But she couldn't move an entire music genre.
No, she couldn't move the genre. She could get a lot of, like if she says, oh, you know, that is so cha.
She might get the word to be used a few times.
Then you've got millions of little teeny bopper girls that are going to start calling everything cha.
Yeah, Lady Gaga might be able to do
it. Yes,
sure.
Yes.
Well, according to legend, and whether this story is true or not, who cares? It's a good story, but
I know,
this is what Alan Freed says.
I've heard it. I love this story.
Apparently, Billy Ward, the lead singer of the Dominoes, is inside the studios there in WJW in Cleveland, and according to the story, there sits Alan Freed, and he says to Billy Ward, Billy, explain this music to me. It's not jazz. It's not R&B. What is it? And Billy is trying to explain the music, and the song 60 Minute Man is playing. It's Domino's tune.
Sure.
And the line plays, I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm the 60-minute man. Mm-hmm. Rock 'em, roll 'em all night long.
Sure.
Freed leaps from his chair. That's it. I'm going to call the music rock and roll. Clouds part, single beam of light, D minor chord on the organ. Sure. Angels mm-hmm. sing. Yeah. And that's apparently where it came from.
Yes.
Is it really where it came from? Doubt it. It's probably a story that was concocted over the years and years and years.
But what a great story.
Great story. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you know, everybody wants to believe there's an explosion of knowledge, and,
sure.
and there it happens. Here is the song, and because of that story, a lot of people believe this is the first rock and roll song. Is it? Well, it's from 1951, which in my mind puts it about 6 years too late. Here are the Dominoes. Rock School. Okay, we're running out of time on Rock School talking about the first rock and roll record. Got time for two more short songs. One I think that isn't, one I think that is.
Oh, I hope we run out of time and you can't put yours in.
Wrong. The one that everybody, or at least a lot of people, tell me is the first rock and roll song is Rock Around the Clock. It's not. Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and the Comets.
Right. I've seen a lot of people post that on your page.
Can't be.
Why can't it be?
Can't be.
Why?
Number one, it's too late. 1954.
54?
54. So almost every song we've played is before it.
45, 46.
You got it. We're way past it. It also can't be because, A, it's a remake.
Oh,
the first time it was done was by Sunny Day and the Knights.
Mm.
Okay, so number two, it wasn't even Bill Haley and the Comets' first rock and roll song. They had Crazy Man Crazy in 53 and Shake, Rattle, and Roll in 54. So if it wasn't their first rock and roll song, how in the world can it be the first rock and roll song, period?
Guess so.
Also, it wasn't the A side of the single when it was released. It was the B side. 13 Women was the hit side of the song.
Mm.
So all these things going against it. Why do people think it was the first rock and roll song? Nationality. It was released as the song that represented youth unrest and anger inside of the opening credits of the Glenn Ford movie, The Blackboard Jungle. Kaboom.
Kaboom.
Now rock and roll was national. It wasn't just little pockets of music. It wasn't until 1954 and Rock Around the Clock and that movie, The Blackboard Jungle, that everyone knew what rock and roll was. Now, thanks to Bill Haley and the Comets, your mom knew what rock and roll was.
So
your grandmother knew.
So they're basically saying this was the first one because all of a sudden it exploded and
that's
everybody
right.
knew what it was?
Now rock and roll is national.
But
is that enough to do it?
No.
Well, a lot of people think it is. Here's
no.
Bill Haley. No?
No.
I don't think so either. But some people do. Rock Around the Clock. That's cool.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on.
All right, last break on Rock School, and I've only got a minute and a half if we're going to stay on time.
The floor is yours.
All right. This is what I think is the first rock and roll song. Am I right? I don't know. Nobody does. I think I am. But nobody's for sure.
Go for it.
I think this is the first rock and roll song. Why? It has the 1-4-5 chord progression, and it has a major melody line over top of it. So it meets those two criteria.
Okay.
It meets the criteria of being a hit piece of music. It's a blatant prototype of a new form of country called rockabilly at the time. It has the stop-start of rock and roll music, boom, 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 because it stops and then pulls itself back up, keeps
sure.
going.
Yep.
It has the influence. Why? Because the song was re-recorded and became a hit by Elvis. In fact, when I say what the song is, many people will go, oh, wait, Elvis recorded that. Elvis redid it. It has one of the earliest guitar solos ever recorded. Some of the guitar goes distorted. And here's what I also think is a big one. It was one of the very first R&B records released on a 45. As a matter of fact, it was the first song released on the Orange R&B RCA level.
Ooh.
And the first R&B song released by an African-American artist, period.
Period.
It has everything that a first rock and roll song should have. The only thing that it doesn't have that Rocket 88 does have is the saxophone.
Well, there you go. I'm in.
Rocket 88 does have the saxophone, but that's all right. Mama has everything else plus a little bit more, and I've already messed up and said the title. I think the first rock and roll song is from September of 1946, Arthur Big Boy Crudup. That's All Right, Mama. And furthermore, I think it's the only song that we have played that I can see a rock band today blowing into, and everybody would be okay with it.
Mm.
And it sounds like this. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Yeah, that's at least what I think. Let the discussion begin.
It will.
Class is dismissed.